Welcome in, everybody, to another episode of the Nothing Catchy Podcast. I'm your host, Michael Dewey, a.k.a. Hang Wangle. I hope you all are having a great, great first week. We have a conclusion. The winners are in. The losers are in. And I'm going to go through some of the matchups, the games, talk about some free agents and things like that today. Maybe I'll do another episode a little bit later this week as well. Maybe looking forward to the next matchups. But yeah, it was a great, great week. Sleeper does a really cool thing where they have weekly reports. And so I kind of wanted to go over that weekly report with everybody, especially if anybody who's listening who's not part of this league and has ever been interested in being part of Sleeper and joining Sleeper. This is going to be kind of like a Sleeper review throughout the year. I'll give you my things I like and don't like. But one of the things I do like so far is this weekly report. So this week's best team goes to Team Jake Fitzy. Congratulations, Jake! Team Jake Fitzy, scoring the highest amount of points all week at 135.04. And then the worst team goes to Goffenheimer. Trademark. He only scored 75 points this week. So those are your tops and your best and your worst teams for this week, week one. They had a number of other awards that they gave out, which I thought was kind of fun. The most efficient manager, meaning the one who didn't leave the most points on the bench, so did the best of getting their lineup done. That is Jay Rinfidel. Oh, man. I'm sorry. I'm going to mess that up for quite a bit. Oh, that's interesting. Okay, so that's one thing I don't like is it doesn't show your team name. It shows your at name down there. So that would require me to – let's see if I can click on it. Can I click on it? Nope. So, yeah, it's going to be kind of confusing actually a little bit. So unless you're the actual person to know who this is, especially if I'm going through the other thing. So anyways, most efficient manager was the Jay Rindefell. Which was pretty cool. The least efficient was Trademark, which ironic is he was also, that's Goffenheimer. He got the least amount of points scored this week. So that makes sense. He probably left a whole bunch of people on his on his bench. Highest points in a loss went to D. Sully at 121. And D. Sully, if I remember right, is Manta Tanega's Mud Dogs. Yeah, Montenegro's Mud Dogs. Sorry, Doug. But yeah, he lost. He lost to the number one, Jake Fitzy. That's such a bummer for him. But it does have the second highest points of the week, so congrats. The person who won with the least amount of points, though, that one goes to Dion, and his name is Chase on the Case. So Chase on the Case got the narrowest or the lowest points on a win at only 95. He also had the narrowest margin of victory, so he was the closest where he almost lost, and that was at 95 points to 92 points, so only lost by 3 points, which is such a bummer. Oh, I wish it would show it down here. It doesn't show it down there. Oh, wait, I can go further down. Okay, so on the report, if you keep going further down, Jay Rindefell is free karma. So Free Camara is J.R. Rindefell, and like I said, was the most efficient. He was also the biggest blowout. So he won at 98 points against Team Mark. So that's going to be I've got to get these names down. I got to learn all these things much faster. We'll get there. We'll get there. I promise. Against Goffenheimer. So, yeah, it's pretty cool. They have all these different awards that they give out constantly. Then they have, like, the team performance, and they break it all down of who was the best and everything like that. And then it shows you the league overall. So the top three people this week, we'll just do the top three, and it's going to be pretty much the top three based upon record and points scored. So these are your top three scorers, I guess, this week, which is going to be Team Fitzy. He's number one. Pangwangle, that's me, number two. And then it's Joe Ever for you, which is Jake at 103. So this could be the one and only time that Jake and I are both in the top five because, I mean, last year we were We were rough. Hey, this also ties, I think, Jake and I's total wins last year. So it's really only uphill from here, or, you know, daisies and going uphill from here and or downhill from here. So hopefully for a second win, we can double our wins, Jake, and we can go from there. But yeah, it was awesome. Honestly, a great week for football. It was really weird and up and down, which I kind of like. It's not predictable. So there was a lot of unique wins and losses, different scores, people who we thought were going to be good and those who were not good and all of the above. There's lots of injuries. Yeah, lots and lots of things. We also have our first trade this year, which we never had a trade last year. So we've already secured our first trade this year, which we'll go over that actually real quick. That was between myself and J Money Mess. We both traded. I am in need of a QB, and he was in some need of a wide receiver depth. So I sent over Tyler Lockett, and he sent over Kirk Cousins. He had three QBs on his team, and I had Geno Smith, who did not do so well, and I just wanted to have a little more depth to my quarterback. And honestly, looking at Kirk Cousins' schedule, yes, this next game is going to kind of stink, but the rest of the year is pretty nice. So he has Philly next week, but then he has the Chargers, Carolina, KC, Chicago, Green Bay, Atlanta, Denver, Chicago, Cincinnati, Raiders, Detroit, Green Bay, Detroit. And all of those are green except for Philly and San Francisco. And then Vegas, New Orleans, and the Chargers are orange, but those are all good. So, I mean, looking at it, he's got a pretty good setup, in my opinion, for decent play. But it is Kirk Cousins, so he may just Kirk himself and not really do so well. So other injuries that happened this week, trying to remember off the top of my head because I don't have any notes in front of me. On the Sleeper app, it doesn't really show injuries of the week, which actually would be kind of a nice thing for a rundown. But some injuries that we had is Aaron Rodgers, as many of you were in the chat have been talking about. He got injured towards his Achilles, and so he's going to be out for the season, which is really a bummer for all of that, the Jets players, except for Breece Hall. I think he's going to be fine. I think it does affect Dalvin Cook, and I think it obviously does affect the upside of Garrett Wilson. I was already talking in the chat about, what do the Jets do? Who do they go after? Because I don't think Zach Wilson's going to be the guy for the rest of the year. And if not, who do they go? Do they pull Tom Brady out of retirement? You know, what other people out of retirement could you get that could actually do a good job? Drew Brees, would he want to come back and do this short amount of time? I mean, I don't know. It's an interesting question. But yeah, the Jets had a major loss on that one for injury. Another major injury was for the Ravens. They lost their running back and J.K. Dobbins. So he's out. He also tore his Achilles, I believe. So he's going to be gone. And he was their starting running back. They did pull up Melvin Gordon from their practice squad. So I don't know if that means Melvin Gordon's going to start being relevant again or not. We'll have to kind of pay attention and see. The running backs out of Baltimore, man, they just keep like getting hurt. I don't understand why. Last year they were just constant turnstiles where it's like one running back and then the next running back and then the next running back. So I don't know what's going on there. But yeah, the other injury, Travis Kelce, he was out this last week. Hopefully he'll be okay and be back this week. I've seen some reports, though, that it might be longer than just 1 week that he's out. So we'll have to keep an eye on that one. That would be really rough for the Kansas City Chiefs if that's the case, because it looked like they really, really needed him. Trying to think if there's any other major injuries that happened. I can't think of any. All the other ones seem pretty minor and either are just little dings and nicks and then and shouldn't be anything major. Or they were not major contributors and stuff like that. Moving on real quick to the next section that I want to talk about is just some free agencies. Anybody who is listening to this before the waiver wire gets some cool inside information. But if you're not, then, you know, you probably are fine and can do your own thing. So according to our league, again, this is our league only. So if you're listening to this and you're not in our league, I may not mention somebody who's at the very top. It's probably because they are already picked up in the league. But it looks like the number one trending pick on our side is actually Puka Nacua. Oh, man. I'm sorry. I'm going to mess that one up. A wide receiver for Los Angeles Rams. Main reason why is he had 15 targets, I believe. Go into the summary. Looking back. Oh, nope. I need to go to game log, maybe. Yeah, game log. Targets 15, 10 receptions. So he's going to be like a PPR crazy guy. The question is he going to stay relevant after Cooper Kupp comes back? I don't know. So it might be one of those things where, yeah, you grab him, but just kind of temper your expectations for a little bit because, yeah, it may not be the best. So like I mentioned before, the other injury, J.K. Dobbins with the Ravens. Another running back who's going to be jumping up the list here is Justice Hill. Justice Hill was brought in afterwards. This is the second half attempts. This is he worries me a little bit. He only had 8 attempts in the second half of the game. He had 2 touchdowns, though, from that, which is great. But he was averaging only 1.1 yards a carry. So I'm not sure where the running situation is going to be there with the Ravens. You could pick up Justice Hill and just kind of hold it in case he's the guy. But don't know. That's a rough one. Next one, Kyren Williams. He is the running back for the Los Angeles Rams. Reason why he got picked up is he actually had a larger workload than people were expecting. He had 15 attempts for 3.47 yards a carry, and he got 2 touchdowns, so he was getting like the goal line work. And Cam Akers was not. So that's the question is, what's going on over there with the Rams running back situation? Could be Cam Akers, could be Kyren Williams. It's kind of up in the air, not really sure. Kendrick Bourne, he's another one, wide receiver for the Patriots. He is somebody to keep an eye on as well. He had high targets. The thing is you want to look for people who are getting high targets, because if they're high targeted, even if they're not getting high receptions, it means they're built into the game plan. He might be somebody that might be worth a grab. He had 11 targets, and he had 2 touchdowns and 6 receptions. So heavily involved, and that was with a Philly defense. So Kendrick Bourne might be the go-to. The problem is he has a really rough schedule. Looking at his schedule, he has Miami, he has the Jets, and then Dallas is not too bad. But then he has New Orleans, and then Vegas, and then Buffalo, and then Miami, and then Washington. He either is going to be the guy and legit, or he's going to really struggle. So I'm not really sure where I want to go with that one. Coming back again to the next person. Oh, he's already picked up. Jake Prosser has him. Gus Edwards. He's another running back for the Baltimore Ravens. So might be worth keeping an eye on. So tight ends. We're going to talk about 2 tight ends real quick that you may want to keep an eye on, and then 1 more wide receiver, and then we'll kind of go from there. So 2 tight ends. Hayden Hurst with the Carolina Panthers. He actually had a lot of targets, 7 again for a tight end. That's pretty good. Had 5 receptions, 41, and a touchdown. So he had 12.6 fantasy points last week. Now, that's great. The problem is he does go up against New Orleans, who is pretty good against the tight end, and Seattle and Minnesota. But then he has a fairly nice stretch. So maybe keep an eye on him. If you're not willing to pull a trigger and stashing him yet, keep an eye on him. Next tight end, Hunter Henry. He's another one to keep an eye on. Had 6 targets, 5 receptions, again, 56 yards and a touchdown, 14 points. That's a pretty good start, and against Philly. So potentially they could be starting to get him going. So Hunter Henry may be a legit starter for the tight end position. He'd be one I'd probably send a little stab on first before Hayden Hurst personally. The last person I want to talk about is Rashid Shaheed. He is with the New Orleans Saints. He's a wide receiver. He had 6 targets, 5 receptions. So he was catching everything that came his way. Had 89 yards and a touchdown. He also was used in the rushing game too. So that tells you it's kind of a unique situation. He may get some jet sweeps or things like that. And anytime you can, pad your stats with a little bit of rushing yards, that's always a nice thing for fantasy. So keep an eye on him. He scored 16.5 points this last week. So, I would be remiss without saying this last guy too. He was another one that was a little surprised. Tutu Atwell with the Rams. So it's either Tutu Atwell or Puka Nukua. Either one of those guys. Both got a lot of targets with Christian Kirk being gone. Tutu Atwell had 8 targets with 6 receptions, 119 yards, no touchdowns though. But still, that's pretty good. That's a good outing. And it was against the Seattle Seahawks, who notoriously have been pretty good against the pass. So, yeah, things to keep an eye on with that. Here's the one defensive nugget that I'll toss out there. Who do you play? This is the question of the day. Do you play the New York Giants defense or do you play the Arizona Cardinals defense? Both are playing against teams that are not good and have quarterbacks that are not good. And so, yeah, both could actually be pretty well. It could be a complete defensive game that round. I'm going to lean towards playing the Giants over the Cardinals only because I feel like the Giants have a slightly better team top to bottom than the Cardinals do. And I think they're going to bounce back after that terrible, terrible game. So anyways, with that, we're going to go wrap it up. And I hope you all have a great week, too. Like I said, I'll try to come back a little bit later and maybe do a projection or go over some of the matchups and see how those are going. Until that time, we'll see you.